Okay. Exodus chapter 3.
Gee, it goes back that far.
Yeah, it's Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to look at the topic of Savior or self-confidence. In Exodus chapter 3. One of the things that I think that, well, I'll speak for myself, but maybe you can relate to it, is we sometimes have feelings of inadequacy. In other words, we don't think that in life we're able or can do the things we need to do or things that are necessary to do. And, you know, we're not alone in that, right? That's been the way with believers ever since there have been believers, I would suspect. And I think that sometimes, you know, we might get a little bit mixed up with what the world's notion of self-esteem, they call self-confidence. You know, everybody should have self-confidence and the ability to do things. And certainly there's truth to that. You know, we don't want to walk around with a low opinion of ourselves, right? That's not a good thing. But that too can be mixed with having a trust in God more than a trust in yourself. That can be confused. So we're going to look at that topic a little bit today. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, this is God speaking to Moses. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into the good land and a large, unto a land flowing milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, he's talking to Moses, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? What, me? You want me to do this? See, Moses wasn't, you don't see him saying, yeah, great, I'm your man, right? I'm so glad you picked me because the rest of the guys wouldn't be able to do the job, right? All he said was, who am I? Right? That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly, and this is what you're going to see today. We're looking at a few verses, but every time you see man's inadequacy or man's inability to carry out that which he needs to do, God always replies with, I'll be with you, right? He says there, and he said on, certainly, I will be with thee, right? See, God doesn't leave you on your own. He's never left us on our own. If he had said to Moses, I know you're a great man, I know you can lead armies, have fun, call me back in a few years and let me know how you did, right? That would be different. But sometimes we can treat things that way. We can say, well, I have to do this. And we forget that, you know, God is the strength of our lives. And here we're looking in the Old Testament. Right? You know, God's calling on a man to do something for him. And he says, I can't do this. And God says, I know, right? I'll be with you. Right? So he says to him, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Like, they don't even know you. I don't even know you, right? Moses is... And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. What that literally means is God telling him, I will be whatever you need me to be, right? I'll help you in whatever help you need, right? That's what he said to him. I'm going to be with you, Moses. Look at Exodus 4, next chapter over, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, he's still not sure about this whole thing, right? I am not eloquent, neither heretofore have, nor since thou hast spoken unto me, unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He said, I can't even speak well, because he was telling Moses, go speak to Pharaoh and tell him this, and tell the children of Israel this and this. And he says, well, I can't really speak that well. I'm just a shepherd. He had been for 40 years, right? or so in the land of Midian, right? And he said, I can't speak well. Again, God's response. And the Lord said unto him, verse 11, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. Right? As, you know, for God telling him before, I will be with thee. Now he's getting real specific. I'll be with your mouth even, right? I'll tell you what you have to say. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of whom thou wilt send. And then God gets a little bit angry at Moses. He's not still willing. And then he sends him Aaron to help him out. Look at Joshua chapter 1. See, God's response in the situation was, look, I'll be with you. I have this sense, and I'll speak for myself. I have this sense sometimes that believers don't understand the level of things that they can accomplish in life. They just don't understand it. They just don't believe it, right? And that is because we limit those things to our ability, right? And our inability, I should say, right? But when you look at the kind of things that God called his people to do and the things they did, and they felt just as inadequate as you and I might feel in a situation, right? Except when God comes to them and says, look, I'll be there for you. Right? And now this is Joshua trained by Moses, right? And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. He told Moses, I'll be with you. He didn't tell him to go and do this great task and say, do it here again to Joshua. Right? He says to him, I'll be with you. I'm going to help you. So will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Right? And so however daunting or large a task might be, you know, and the Spirit of God works in us every day, right? I know that, you know, we get ideas. Things come into our minds. Because I know, how do I know? The Word of God tells me that. Does it not say God worketh in us both to will and do his good pleasure? We get ideas. We think of things, right? And the next thought is usually, oh, there's no way. I couldn't possibly do that. Who am I? I can't speak well, right? All those thoughts hit you very fast, right? Yet we must never forget God's response. I will be with you, right? What is there that God can't help you to achieve in life? Right? What is there? There's no limit. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Right? You know, he tells him, you stay in the word, right? You speak the word. You stay in the word. Think about what the word says. My word says to you, but remember, when you're doing that, I'm right there with you. Right? I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you, right? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. So what is it? Is it self-confidence? Or is it knowing that God is with us? And in that, we can be very confident. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse, and this is David. Verse 8. This is when David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God tells the prophet, verse 8, "Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." Another shepherd, right? Wasn't Moses a shepherd? Any other shepherds we know of in the Bible? Maybe Joseph, right? David was a shepherd. Like here is another, and he was a shepherd, and he said, "I've taken thee from being a shepherd to be ruler over my people, over Israel." When did David take lessons and courses and how to be a king over Israel? Right? Where did he do that? There's no record of it. So how come God could take him, right, from being a shepherd to being ruler over his people, Israel? I don't think David, when he was out there in the fielding the sheep there and the sheep, he would have ever thought, well, you know, someday I'm going to be king over all of Israel, right? Be the most powerful king ever, right? I imagine if someone had told him that, he might have said, "Who am I?" Right? And let's keep reading here. "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place." Sorry, I missed verse 9. "And I was with thee." That's what I wanted to get to. "And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest." Right? "And I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Who did that? Right? God did it. Right? God is the one who made David great. Right? Let's look at the later part in the chapter. Verse 15. No, sorry, verse 18. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord?" Isn't that what Moses said? Right? He says, "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" He goes, "How come you did that for me?" Right? You see the humility of David. David was under no illusions here as to how he had attained to where he was at. Right? He wasn't saying, "Well, I'm so great." He said, "Who am I? Why me?" "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of my servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David more say unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee according to all that we have heard with our ears." Right? You see where he was still at when God made him great? Where was his heart still at? Who had made him? Who brought him there? God. Right? God was the strength of his life. Right? Look at John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. See, these men that we looked at briefly, very briefly, their confidence was in what? Was in God. Their confidence that, you know, they were given great tasks. We didn't nearly look at any of the tasks David was given to do, right? Or all the tasks Moses was given to do over those 40 years that he wandered with the children of Israel, right? Or Samuel, or David, all the other great men. How about Joseph? Where did Joseph, the other shepherd, receive his training in ruling over all of Egypt under Pharaoh, right? Where did he receive that? You know, I heard someone say last week, they were talking about mathematics, and they were saying, you know what, computers are a lot better at math than people are. And I got to thinking, that's not entirely true, right? There's not a computer that would have told Pharaoh that you should only save 20% of your corn every year, right? Right? Wouldn't have. Only God could tell him that. So God is a little bit smarter than even computers, right? A little bit smart. That's a figure of speech. You know, see, and Joseph had no training, right? No whatsoever. He was herding sheep, and he became the ruler. How did he do that? So why would you and I ever feel inadequate because we might not believe that God is with us, right? We might think we're trying to do whatever it is on our own. I guarantee you, none of us can do the things we need to do in life on our own, right? No, it's not possible. Right? In John chapter 3, verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given from him from heaven. Ye therefore, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. You see, all these men we learned about in the Old Testament, just briefly, very briefly, were able to trust God at a time when Jesus Christ had not yet come. Right? Jesus Christ hadn't yet come and done what he was going to do. Right? How about us? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, verse 29. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Thus this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He said, He must increase, and I must decrease. He that cometh from heaven above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. You see, he's talking about John saying that he must increase and I must decrease. That's the only way in life to get to accept that you can do the things in life that God calls you to do. And sometimes, you know, you may be dreaming way up here. And I say to you, there's nothing wrong with any of that if we trust that God is with us. The only way we accomplish these tasks that we might in our minds consider to be up here is by recognizing that when we do those tasks, Christ must increase and you and me must decrease. Right? The more we let ourselves decrease in life out of the things we accomplish, the greater our accomplishments will be. The more we let Christ in us increase, right, the greater our confidence will be. Not in us, not self-esteem, but confidence in God and what he has accomplished. Right? In Colossians chapter 1, these men in the Old Testament, right, eventually got to the point where they had great confidence in God, not their own abilities. We read that, right? They didn't have great confidence in their own abilities. That's just a few of them. But in God. Right? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, wherefore if I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? In the Old Testament, the best they could have was Christ before them. Right? God said, Abraham said, I rejoice to see, Jesus Christ said about Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. He saw the coming. David said, I have set the Lord at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. Right? He could see it, right? Moses looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked ahead to the coming one, the coming of the Holy One, the Messiah. They looked forward to his coming. And having Christ before them, they were able to have great confidence in God. How about you and I with Christ in us? Right? How much confidence should we be able to have in our God? How much greater should we be able to believe that he will never leave us or never forsake us? Right? Never. Right? Christ in us. Sometime, just sit down for a while, you know, in the back deck or on a chair and just quietly think about what it means to have Christ in you. Right? What does it mean to have Christ in you? Right? You know, in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. See, Paul understood this, and he taught a lot about it. In chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. You see, we must decrease, right? So crucifixion is about as decreasing as you can get, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is where your real life lies, is Christ in you, right? How much we let that through, in a manner of speaking, right, we will see where our real life is. Paul was convinced. He said, I am crucified with Christ, yet I'm living. But you know, this life I'm living, it's not me, it's the Christ in me. That's what he wanted to come through, right? That's why when you go into a situation, I don't care what kind of situation you go into, you know, maybe you need to minister healing to somebody. Maybe you need to, you know, pray for somebody. Maybe you need to get healing yourself. Whatever the situation in life, think about what you have. Think about who you are, right? And think about who goes with you and never leaves you or forsakes you, right? That ought to help our confidence, right? That ought to help get rid of all feelings of inadequacy, because it is God who never leaves us or forsakes us, right? Christ in you is what Paul said. You know, some people call this way of thinking a crutch, right? And I will put forward that it's a crutch is not enough, right? A crutch would only stop you from help you walking, right? I would say it's full body armor, right? Believing in God, I'm not satisfied with just having a crutch in my life. That wouldn't be enough. We need full body armor, the full armor of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Let people call it what you want, right? We should just be confident to walk with our God, knowing Christ is in us, and we can accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. I don't care how big you think it is, how difficult you might think it is, but remember, Christ is in you. God works in you daily. Ideas come from the Spirit. Things that you would not necessarily think of. So let's not just dismiss them and say, well, I can't. Who am I? I can't speak well, right? Just remember, God goes with us, right? When we have Christ in us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians. See, we need to get to the point in our lives where we recognize that without Christ, we are nothing. And I know that's, you know, a lot of times we as believers don't believe that, right? But really, really, what are we without Jesus Christ, right? Where is the purpose in life? Where's the strength in life, right? Where's the direction in life? But sometimes we, you know, kind of go back and forth, wishy-washy between, well, you know, I can kind of handle these things, and there's certain things I need God's help with, and there's certain things I can handle on my own, and I don't, you know, that's fine. And certain dreams I want to lay at his feet, and some I just want to do on my own, you know, I don't need God in that, right? But that's not where Paul said, you know, I am crucified, and now I'm living, not me, but the Son of God lives in me. That's where he must increase, we must decrease, right? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would be desired in glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. See, he gloried in what God was showing him. He goes, in that I will glory, but I'm not going to glory in the things that I think about, the things that I'm all about. But he gloried in that, right? Because that was how God was working in him. Right? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Right? See, not strength in himself, right, but in the Christ that lived in him. And that's where he was about. Right? And we'll close in Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. Our strength, our adequacy, ability, confidence in life, boldness, peace, righteousness, and whatever you want are to be found in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3. And, you know, we saw examples in the Old Testament of these men, and they didn't have Christ in them, but they had his coming ahead of them. Right? And God, they were able to trust that God would never leave them or forsake them. And the result, you know, unbelievable results, but apparently believable. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. See that? And have no confidence in the flesh. Is that what it says? Does it say a little bit? Shared confidence? A little bit in Christ and a little bit in the flesh? Because what does it say? It says we rejoice in what? Christ Jesus. The anointing, the anointed one, see that the right hand of God. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. Right? Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he said, I could. If any man, other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, all his worldly credentials. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. These were all really, really amazing things. Like, you could be saying things like, you know, 4.0 in the SATs, you know, head of the, you know, Coca-Cola company. Click, got that one. Elected twice president of the U.S. Click. All these, you know, very high accolades of today you could achieve as a Hebrew in Paul's day. He had done them all. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So all these things that the world would consider things you could have confidence in. You know, you could have confidence in. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Sounds exactly like saying, I must decrease, and he must increase. Isn't that what he's saying? Right? All that he had done, and he had done a lot, right? All of it, he said he was going to count loss, that he might understand, that he may win Christ, and understand what that meant to him, Christ in him. You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. Right? Christ in you. Verse 9. And be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, we heard in the manifestations today about there's the great love and that great power that raised Jesus Christ. Well, what greater thing to think about when you're ministering healing to somebody and to understand and to get to know the power of his resurrection? Doesn't it say in Ephesians that that is what God wrought in us when he raised Christ from the dead? Was that great power with which he raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Do you think you have that power? Right? Or do I think, well, who am I? I can't speak well. I've never been really good at this. Where's my training? Well, the choice is up to me. I can think this, what Paul said, well, all that stuff, the stuff that I've learned and I thought important, if I count that but dung, except that which I've learned of Christ to be great, then maybe you can attain onto thinking that way, the way that God needs us to think in those situations, right? That's what Paul was saying here, right? That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. He hasn't gotten there yet. Even when Paul, by revelation, God had Paul write this, he hadn't gotten there yet. If that I may apprehend for that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Look, I still, he said, do not fully understand it. Right? But, and this is the exhortation to you and me, but this thing, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and that means all those things that in the past that you and I felt like we should have confidence in. My training, my ability, my strength, all that philosophy I've learned, all of it, right? He says, what do you do? Forget it. Right? Forget it. It's a wash. It's dung. It is something we are not to have confidence in, right? Is that what it says? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, as therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any other thing ye be otherwise minded, you got some other thing on your concern, on your mind you got to deal with, God shall even reveal this unto you. As long as you keep what's first, first, and that is all that you are in Jesus Christ. Right? It doesn't mean how young you are, old you are, it doesn't matter. All that you are in Jesus Christ. And verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's eventually where we're all going. So in our path to that final day when the Lord comes back, why not have confidence in Christ? Why ever let anybody talk you out of that which God might be working in your heart this very second? Right? Why let the thinking of the world, your old thinking, your previous thinking, ever talk you out of the things that God has called you to do, right? Who better to do it than you who knows God's word, right? That understands the mystery, that has had so much training in life, right? Who better, right? So let's not let the world talk us out of that which God has made us to be in Christ Jesus. It's not self-confidence. It's confidence in him. And that leads to confidence better than anything you could find anywhere else in the world, any course you might take in the world, right? It's confidence in him. So,